Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, we were taught that even though what we do for the Lord may not seem like much in the world's view, when we give our all, it's great in the eyes of the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Everyone in Jericho knew that Rahab is a harlot. The New Testament refers to her as Rahab the harlot. But my friend, that's in the eyes of man. For we read in Acts 10 and again in Acts chapter 11 that what God has cleansed, call it not common. Don't call it unclean. Whether it's a homosexual, a drug addict, an adulterer, a murderer, God's grace is greater than all our sin. Romans 5:20 says it this way. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we say hallelujah for that. Because that's still true today. As great as your sin is, the grace of God is greater if you will come to Him. If we're writing a book about our heritage, and I'm talking about our family heritage, most of us would leave out the story of Rahab if she was in our family line. But the work God does in her is so complete that she is in the lineage of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The Lord Jesus Christ immortalized the faith of the widow who gave her two mites, all that she had. Now, what you need to understand, those two mites were still small in man's eyes. But 100% was great in God's eyes. And in like matter, God took this old reprobate Rahab, cleaned her up, and she is in the hall of faith. Only what the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, call it not common, nor unclean. Have you failed? Have you fallen into gross sin? 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus still cleanses. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as people who know that God has the power we need to rescue the perishing, because duty demands it, we read the story of Rahab. We read that God did something special in her life. The story of Rahab teaches us to rescue the perishing. Jesus saves the chief of sinners. My friend, there might be somebody out there. You'll see maybe a young person, a young adult, and you look at them, there's tattoos all over the place, dressed immodestly. They look like they fell and their face hit a tackle box. And you have a tendency to, oh man, I don't want that person around me. I don't want them around my family, that's for sure. And that's the person that needs to hear the gospel from you. That's a person that's perishing. Rescue the perishing, my friend. Duty demands it. Rahab's justification and sanctification before God is the same as it is for us, by grace through faith. God's grace and our faith in it. My friend, it took as much of God's grace to save you, to save me, as it took to save Rahab, the harlot. And it'll take as much grace of God to save you as it took to save any person on the face of this earth. Rahab, at the risk of her life, hid the spies and let down the scarlet thread. When the hearts of Jericho are living in fear and dread, as the children of Israel march outside the walls, Rahab is secure in the promises of God, despite the circumstances. Oh, the world may be upset about the economy, about terrorism, and a host of other things, but we're resting in the promises of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And isn't that beatitude taught to us by Rahab's story? Isn't that a beatitude that we see in action? She was merciful, and God was merciful to her. Now that takes us in the verse 32. Verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." Now this verse names a group of men who are all rulers. Now prophets are not mentioned by name, and I believe that's because they're not rulers. Now Samuel was a judge. In that sense, he was a ruler, but he's more thought of as a prophet. Now each of these men in verse 32 had a trial of faith. That is, they were faced with a trial that was too big for them. But they overcame by faith. They engaged in war for God and led people into battle by faith. He mentioned Gideon, and he saw 135,000, even when he had all Israel together. He had only 32,000. He was still well outnumbered. He's outnumbered 4-1. Better than 4-1. But you see, these men were examples of faith to their armies. And they show us we do not need to turn to the arm of flesh to do the work of God, as so many are doing today. These refuse to do that. Matthew Henry had a note on this that I thought was really good. But let me read, first of all, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, and then let me share with you his note. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed." Now, isn't that a strong word, cursed? When it comes from God, it's very strong. When he says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And now, God says cursed, and that's a strong thing coming from him. And he makes flesh his arm, he trusts in man. God's spiritual work through fleshly enticements or appeal to the flesh. Instead of following God's way, he seeks the advice of men, even if it's religious men, but without the word. And he depends on the advice of religious men instead of the word. He has departed from the Lord. Matthew Henry stated, "Apostasy from Christ is the fruit of preferring the gratification of the flesh to the blessing of God." I'm kind of reminded that I look around and I see so much going on. And I remember talking to a young man, and he told me he played the drums in their band at their church. They played their contemporary music. But, you know, I didn't see a change in his life. I saw nothing of holiness. Matter of fact, he ended up being arrested for drugs. But how could a man be involved in something spiritually right and talk about it as a good thing and then go in an opposite direction? Now, people do that in many ways, but you see, what I'm looking at is that this guy was, it was the flesh. It was the way of man. And they depended on that for their worship. And I'm afraid that we have taught a generation that they must be entertained in church. They must be entertained in their religion. So when they find the real issues of life, they're totally unprepared because their heart is not with the Lord, it's with the flesh. Now, our text, this verse, and this entire chapter tells us there are many examples through history of people who were not swayed from God by the world or the carnal religious crowd. They found through faith, performing the work through prayer and full of obedience to God and His Word, they found that the power of God still works when everyone else said, "You can't do it that way anymore." They did not need entertainment, nor anything else of the flesh in order to win bored to death people who demanded entertainment. See, what's wrong today begins in the pulpit. It begins with people that call themselves consecrated Christians. We're not willing to pay the price of prayer and separation. And that takes us to verses 33 through 38. Now, Dr. H.A. Ironside, in his volume, wrote, "It moves our heart to its deepest depths to read verses 33 through 38 of what the world accorded those whom God delights to honor." And it's in these verses that we're seeing divine strength is perfected in human weakness.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.